Hello, beautiful people. I'm back with another episode, and this time, this episode is just me talking to the camera, which is something that I've really never done before, but I'm excited to dive into your questions and answer them. This is episode 100, which that started the journey. That was the beginning of everything that I've done, is like, let me try to do 100 episodes and then reevaluate from there. And I've loved it. I've loved the process of recording the episodes. I've loved the process of posting them and getting feedback on the everything I've done. So I'm really grateful. I'm going to do another 100 episodes. Probably will do another 1,000 episodes, truly, because I feel like I found a true passion and joy for what I'm doing. So now let me get into the wonderful questions from you guys. So the first question is from Martin, and he asked, did you prepare for 75 hard or just jumped in? What was a moment that made you want to quit? And my 75 hard journey story started when I found the program one night randomly, and I just said, okay, this seems like it's for me. I already do most of these things, but I don't do them consistently. And I saw it, knew that it was for me, and just jumped in the following day. And what was a moment that made me want to quit? I was on, I want to say, day 48, somewhere in the 40s, and I was just shot. I had food poisoning one day, and I knew that I could do a walk, right? I knew I could do the simplest thing. I knew I could eat correctly and read 10 pages. And throughout the program, I had food poisoning one time. I had an allergic reaction to bananas another time. So it was a journey, and I could have easily quit either time. But the fact that I stuck with it made it really fulfilling to me. And it those moments where I wanted to quit, it was even better when I actually finished that day, because I realized, well, I could complete that. So every excuse I was making was just nonsense. We got a question from Olex. Olex says, would love to hear your process of finding and contacting your interviewees. So how I find people to interview is very widespread. One way I do it is through Twitter. It's probably the most common. I'm looking for people who are just pursuing their highest version, who have some level of long-term thinking. And my process for contacting them is just telling them, hey, I really liked when you did X, Y, or Z. This is the impact you've had on me. And these are some of the previous guests that have come on the podcast. Would you be interested in coming on? No worries or hard feelings if you're not interested. And keep it simple. Question from Shmanis. Shmanis. Do you feel the way you expected to feel when your podcast hit this level of success or notoriety? That's a tough one, because I don't feel as if my podcast has hit a level of success or notoriety, at least not the level, anywhere close to the level that I expected to. And, you know, it's interesting because I have had some successes, and those successes in terms of reaching and getting guests like Gary Vaynerchuk and more recently Tom Bilyeu. And it's like, those were really exciting moments, but I don't feel as if the podcast is a success by any means. I can't live off the podcast. I can't, you know, there's some videos, or there are many videos on YouTube right now of mine that get like 3 views or 4 views. And I'm so grateful for that. But the point is that it's not like the podcast is a massive success yet. And I don't feel as if I've accomplished really all that much, except living up to my promise to myself of doing 100 episodes. Question from Matt Izzo. What have you learned recording 100 episodes? I've learned that it's really important when you're meeting someone new to connect with them right off the bat. And what I mean by that is to have some pre-existing knowledge about them and to really have an interest in them if you're talking to them. I think that when I started, I thought, you know, Joe Rogan just wings it and look, it sounds great and it looks great. But for me personally, where I'm at in my level of my journey, it's like, I really need to take time to go in depth with the guest and on their background and figure out what's interesting to them. And if I'm able to do that, then I'm able to have the best conversation and really make it something special for them. So that's what I've learned primarily. I've also learned a lot about just bringing your best self to a conversation. Question from Andrew. Which stadium are you going to pick to host episode 500? That would be pretty sweet if episode 500 ends up being in a stadium. I don't know if that will happen, but that would be pretty cool. I'm going to go with Madison Square Garden if we can get to that point. But the jury is out. We'll see how that goes. Norm asks, if you could meet Danny Miranda at 1,000 episodes, what advice would he give you? This is a great question. And I think the advice he would give would be continue to put in the reps, continue to trust the process. What you're doing has shown a lot of potential and you haven't really done anything yet, but there are clear signs that this is working, so keep doing it. And I think he would also tell me that he's still young at this point. If 1,000 episodes is in 5 or 6 years, he's 31 years old or 30 years old, something like that. And it's like, that's still young. He's still learning. And it's like, if I've already made this level of progress in the first 100 episodes, what will the next 900 look like? And so just keep going. Austin asks, what are 3 pieces of advice for people just starting a podcast? The first piece of advice I would say is to set an internal goal. You want to be doing things that are intrinsically motivated. And if you have that internal goal, you'll be less likely to be worried about so-and-so, how many people are downloading the podcast, what are people saying about it, because you'll be motivated to just do it to complete the goal. I think that it's easy to get caught up in the download numbers and easy to get caught up in the external. But for someone who's just starting out, make the internal be the source of your pride and the source of you wanting to do it. I think that's a huge part. The second part of it is go for the biggest guests you can try to get after recording 5 or 10 episodes. You'd be surprised at who would answer your email. You'll be surprised at who will give you a shot. One great example of this is Blog of Jake, who's managed to get guests like Mark Cuban and Vitalik Buterin, and he's just able to get these incredible people on his show, and he's had no audience to start with, and he's just building his podcast from scratch. So second piece of advice would be just to reach out to people who are quote unquote out of your league for when you're starting, because I think we're in this incredible opportunity right now where anyone will come on your podcast if they're trying to promote something or your pitch is good enough. So just really think about who you would love to have on your podcast and just do it. Go for it. And don't worry about if they're too big or not. The third piece of advice I would say is try to find people who are also on that journey with you. I've been fortunate enough to connect with people like Lewis and Kyle and people like Chris Williamson, maybe people who are a little bit ahead of you in the journey or who have just started around the same time. And that's been really cool because you can then talk to them about, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And you can get some sense of camaraderie along the journey. The three pieces of advice are, one, set an internal goal. Two, reach out to bigger guests. And three, find people who are at a similar stage or a little bit ahead of you on the journey. My man Ian asks, the most inspiring comment or piece of advice received from a podcast guest? I would probably say it was Gary Vaynerchuk saying at the end of his episode with me that the learnings from the process were more important than anything else. And if he could just do the process, that would be the win itself. And I think that that was so rewarding to hear, and it was inspiring because of where he's ended up. And it's just a truth, right? If you're just in this journey because you're trying to get somewhere, if you're not enjoying the process itself, it's probably not going to work out well for you. And the process itself will end up being that which you are most proud of. So that was the most inspiring comment. Matt asks, do you return your grocery cart? The answer is yes, my friend. I think it's the most important thing to do. And I think it's the quickest tell for maybe how you feel about yourself, because returning your grocery cart simply means that you are doing something kind with no reason for doing it. It's just the right thing to do. And as Gary Vaynerchuk likes to say, doing the right thing is always the right thing. So I think returning your grocery cart is so important in our society. It's like, if we can get everyone to return their grocery cart, then we're going to just be in a kinder society as a whole. Matt McLeod, the man, he says, what type of people do you want listening to your podcast? It's a great question. I want people who are kind, optimistic, willing to work hard, trying to pursue the highest version of themselves in some capacity, and willing to be self-aware and reflect on themselves. That's a lot of things, but those are the type of people I suspect would enjoy listening to the podcast. And the second part of his question is, do you make the podcast with them in mind, or do you put your own interests / curiosities first? And he says in parentheses here, I'm assuming a bit of both. And he's right in the sense of, it is both. I'm asking on the sake of my own interests, and I'm also asking on the sake of the person in mind listening. And I think that it's important to have both and think about both when doing the podcast, because sometimes I'll ask questions to clarify something for someone who might not know something about a topic that is being discussed, even though I might know the answer. And I think that keeps people in the loop. And I really enjoy when podcast hosts do that as well. The curse of knowledge is just that once you have this knowledge, you assume that everyone else has it as well. And although I do like to make my podcast tailored to the guest and tailored to them, I also want to tailor to the audience while also making it fun for me. So it's a whole performance that I'm really trying to figure out. And I think the best example of someone who does this extremely well is Tim Ferriss. So he's someone I lean on in terms of preparation and thinking that really helped my process. Greg, he says, how has love and friendship influenced your journey? This is an important question, Greg. This is an important question because I don't think this journey, at least the podcast journey, the life journey, would have been anything without love and friendship. It was first loving myself and understanding myself that led to me starting the podcast, because it led to me reaching out to people and seeing if they wanted to talk on the phone. The friendship part of it is like, I knew I had friends who I could interview, who I could talk to, who people would be interested in listening to. And I'm forever grateful for some of my friends for being willing to share their stories and being open to letting me test them out and test my interviewing with them to start. So that has been incredibly important, and it's influenced everything that I've done since. Zeke asks, what are the most important traits that you find your guests share? It's a really great question. I think it's a self-awareness piece and it's a discipline piece. I think a lot of my guests have spent a lot of time looking at themselves, listening to themselves, figuring out who they are, what they care about. And then I think a lot of them also have the discipline to stick with things throughout the process. So I think self-awareness and discipline are the two big attributes that I see come up time and time again. What do you think you'd be doing if you lived pre-internet era? Do you think that what you're creating / building would be possible without the internet? That's from Zach. It's a really good question. And I think the internet has shaped me in such a way, because when I was, you know, 12 years old, 13 years old, I was creating websites and I was playing fantasy football, and I knew that this was where the future was going. It just was so obvious to me. And I didn't have the discipline, to go back to the last answer, to stick with things. And I didn't have the discipline to set out to do something and then continue doing and have the internal guide and letting and understand the process would take years and not weeks. And I would go from one thing to the next and try things out. And I think that's fine. I think that's part of the process. But to go back to the question, what would I be doing if I lived pre-internet? Probably something to do with writing. Writing's always been something I've been tremendously interested in, something to do with reading as well. Maybe I'd be an author or a writer in some capacity, psychologist maybe, something like that I think would be a good guess. And do you think what you're building / creating would be possible without the internet? It would be possible, but I don't think I would have leaned into that way of being. That question was from Zach. Great one. Pratik asks, if you were given control to the American education system, what would you add to the curriculum for high school students and why? I think a really important thing that we need to start teaching in American schools is meditation. And teach it as a class, teach it because it is so important in a world when we have so many distractions and so many things vying for our attention. It is incredible. So that's why I think meditation is so important. And it's particularly for high school kids who have so much stimulus, so many different things vying for their attention. You have TikTok, you have YouTube, you have social media, and you have people and parents and telling them this and that. It's like, you don't even have time for yourself. Back in the 2000s or the 1970s, I'm sure there were time for people to relax, to go back inwards, to just be bored. But today, kids aren't bored. And so what they lose in that is some level of self-awareness. And if I was given control of the American education system, the first thing that I would be talking about is meditation. Let's add a class, a mandatory meditation class, to every single high school in America. Have kids learn about sitting with their breath and sitting with themselves and understanding it's normal to have thoughts and not to identify with those thoughts. We would be in an incredible place if we could do that. And I hope in my lifetime, I live to see it. Josh, my man Josh, he asks, what is your research process like? It's scrappy, man. It is finding and going deep on the person who I'm interviewing and really trying to understand them, what motivates them, what they're interested in. And I'm going to the seventh page of Google. I'm going through Twitter advanced search. I'm going through their old Instagram posts and really just trying to figure out what life is like in their perspective. I'm trying to pick apart and find little details from their life, little details that they might have forgot or things they've said a long time ago, and ask them to expand on it. I think Twitter is a great tool because it logs all your thoughts since you've been on the platform. But my research process is just scrappy. Oh, and another thing I'll mention is that I listen to podcasts a lot. And I listen to a podcast from, if I'm going to interview a guest, I'll listen to them on a podcast and figure out what are the things that they say a lot. What are the things that I wish they would expand on? I think that some gold happens when you have a guest who is being asked scripted questions and the interviewer isn't listening, but you are because you're obviously listening to the podcast, and you can then put yourself in that state of mind and ask them the follow-up question to something the interviewer in that podcast missed. So that's one thing I like to do, and it's an important part of my research process. Chad asks, what's one thing you plan to do before departing this realm? You know, I looked at this question and it's really interesting because I don't plan to do or don't have any expectation of any massive plans, right? Like I want to get married, I want to have kids, I want to do all this stuff, but what I plan to do is upload this podcast to YouTube and upload it as a podcast. Like that's what I plan to do because I think it's very easy for us to have all these expectations and have all these where we're going to be and what we're going to do. And of course, I want to set the intention of selling out Madison Square Garden for a live podcast. I think that would be so crazy and so cool. But I also understand the importance of knowing that I don't know anything. And whenever my ego gets involved and life is worse in some capacity than when I just let life flow and life work out and just ride the wave that is life. So I plan to upload this podcast. I plan to do that, but I also understand that nothing's promised, and I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity to just put this out into the world and record this. So one thing I plan to do is put this podcast up. And our final question from my man, Harrison Remler. He asks, where do you find inspiration for your curiosity when things get tough? The answer to this is I go inward, because when I feel as if I'm not curious, and the interesting part about my curiosity is, like, I haven't always been a curious person. This is only something that's really developed in the last year of my life. I go back to the self and really look at myself and shine that light inwards, because what I find is that there's so many facets to us as human beings. There's so much to us. There's so much in my own psyche that I'm just fascinated by. And when I go inwards, it also makes me curious about other things and other people and other organisms and just other ways of being. And I figure, and to put some practicality on that, the more that I meditate, the more curious I am about what this whole thing we're doing here is all about. And I personally find on days where I don't meditate and I have a podcast or I have do some research, the interviews don't turn out as good. The research doesn't turn out as good. And I think it's a direct result of getting in touch with myself and getting in touch with who I am. And so when I need help with that curiosity piece, I am always going back inwards and meditating, and it always restores my curiosity in some capacity. So that is all, my friends. Those were some incredible questions. I'm really grateful for them. I'm grateful for the opportunity to answer them, and I'm looking forward to the next 100 episodes. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your time and attention. I really appreciate you. And I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.